A man finds himself on an airplane riding, scooting across toward Jackson, Mississippi, and he sits down. He has a book in his hand. And the book says, God's Amazing Journey, 28 Days to Finding His Heart. Look at the book. He was sitting next to me, and I asked the young man, I said, tell me the story of that book. Tell me what happened that made you start reading that book. He said, thank you for asking. He said, I grew up in church, grew up in a preacher's home. I grew up with a real awareness of how life was supposed to work and what choices we should make and what steps we should take. He said, but I came to a juncture where no one was really listening to me. He said, I made a choice. He said, I walked out into the world. He said, I can do it in the world better than I can do it anywhere else. I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to live my life. He went out into the world and began to live life on his terms instead of God's terms. Life didn't work very well. Soon he was divorced. Soon he was separated away from his daughter that he loved. Soon his ex-wife married another man who began to beat both his wife and his child so severely that the child lost the capacity to distinguish that that was indeed her father. So he found himself at DFACS in another part of our country, standing at the counter after going through a hearing in which he has heard the counselor say, your daughter doesn't know you anymore. Tears are running down his face. He's weeping and crying because he realizes that the one that had been brought into his world has been taken away by the world. Knowing that his choice to live in the world had cost him more than he could ever calculate. Tears are running down his face across the counter. There's an elderly lady who is sitting there. And as she is sitting there and as she is listening and watching as tears run down his face, she looks at him and says, young man, you need to go to church with me. Astonished by her statement, he looked back at her and said, ma'am, you need to go to church with me. Well, the reality is he didn't go to church, but he wanted to be able to answer back to her. And so she said, I tell you what, we have a church on Wednesday night. I want you to come with me. He went to church that Wednesday night. His life changed that day. It went 180. He walked away from the world. Right after that, he was at his ex-wife's house to be able to see his daughter, and her cousin came out with a gun in his hand and said, I need money. You see, when you get into the world takes you further than you ever thought you'd go. And his cousin looks at him and says, or her cousin, his ex-wife's cousin, looks at him and says, I need money right now. He looks at this cousin and says, I'm not giving you my money. He takes the gun. He aims it at him, and he shoots twice, both bullets blowing by him without hitting him, 10 feet away. Everyone there is astonished that he's lived through that moment. But he's not, because on that Wednesday night, he said to God, I'm going your way instead of my way. And it changed his life forever. He said to me, I haven't missed a day since that moment where I didn't find myself amazed at living in God's world. I asked him the question. I said, tell me this. What did you find in the world that you were looking for? He looked at me and he said, absolutely nothing. He said, I thought I could find it in another place, but I could find nothing. And you see, oftentimes what happens is we think we can find something that we're missing in the wrong place, and it never leads us home. And today we find ourselves in a story that has the amazing impact of one person who says, I want to live at 180 degrees. I want to live on the direct opposite of what God's best is. I want to miss the best that God has planned because what I want is more important. And he makes this choice, and his choice has consequences on everyone. And today, as you think about this passage, you immediately begin to relate to the story of the young man sitting on the airplane. He was trying to relocate to another place to find even a better life, to find a bigger dream. And as he was sitting on that plane, he never dreamed he'd end up sitting next to a pastor who would ask him questions to be able to relate to his story. But I knew his story was for us to hear. Because today I want to challenge you to think about your own life. Have you ever done anything that just shocked you? In other words, have you ever thought a thought that shocked you? You couldn't believe you thought that. Have you ever had thoughts that you go, man, I can't believe where those came from? I can't understand how I'm thinking that way. And when you read this passage we're going to look at today, I promise you Achan shocked himself. Because he'd heard God say what you're supposed to do. He'd heard God say, this is your assignment in life. Do these things, and you're going to be blessed more than you could ever imagine, and you're going to have a better life than you ever dreamed of. But what happens is, sometimes we don't hear those instructions clearly, and we miss out on what God has for our life. And see, whether you're young or old here, God has one plan that the Bible says is absolutely perfect. We have another plan that is what we want, And what you're going to discover is the more we focus on what we want, the more we miss what God wants for us. And what I want to challenge you today is to think about your own life. Think about that last time you shocked yourself, that last time you told a lie, that last time you thought the wrong thing, that last time you had an attitude that was unbecoming of who you are. And what you discover is we oftentimes shock ourselves. But here's what we see. We can see people who seem to have so many blessings while they're being disobedient, while they're doing the wrong thing. And we look at it only through our human eyes, and we say, well, that's all the math that works. And listen carefully. God's math is different than our math, because the Bible says we reap what we sow. And I want to ask you a question when you think about your own life. Have you ever thought about the real consequences of disobedience? Have you ever sat there and going, what would really happen if I make this choice? Because here's what you're going to discover. Oftentimes, we find ourselves at crossroads, critical moments, which we have to make wise or unwise choices. And for your own journey, you're going to see something today. Because here's what you're going to discover. You're going to discover that if you think a secret sin can be hidden from all those who are around you and hidden from God, you're going to see that this story in chapter 7 shows you that God's always watching what's going on in all of our lives. And so when you think about it, here's what you see. Here's the message that fits this whole text. This is the story of a guy who chose to float his own boat. He decided to do it his way instead of God's way. And listen carefully. Don't miss this. We were never designed to float our own boat. We weren't designed that way. We were designed by God to be instruments, to be lives that are called out and anchored in the Lord. So here's what you discover. If you start floating your boat, what do you discover? It goes wherever it wants to. But if you're anchored in God, then you find yourself in the perfect place experiencing exactly what He has for your life. And I want you to think about this for a second, because it's so critical. We all at times want our own boat with our own oars. We want to go where we want to go whenever we want to get there. And what you discover out of this story that's so powerful is that you and I must never come to the place where we're floating our own boat in life. Because here's what you discover. You'll end up making some really big mistakes. If I were to ask you to testify to mistakes that you have made or that others have made, here's what you discover. We make them very quickly. We make them very quickly because we end up living life the way we want to. And so today, this story really opens our hearts up to learn three very distinctive things. Because if we learn these things, something amazing will begin to happen inside of our journey. Because if you're thinking about this passage, and you're going to see it in a moment as we read this text, if you're not familiar with this story, let me just tell you, in essence, the story. God gives people very clear instructions, but when they choose to start doing it their way, they start stepping in their own direction, their disobedience ends up having all kinds of consequences. And what you discover is, out of 2 million people, one guy said, I don't like it God's way. I want it my way. And he ends up choosing to take some things that God had clearly said, do not take this. And so what you discover is we learn some things. First of all, the failure to listen, when you think about it for a second, is always going to lead us in the wrong direction. In fact, when we start listening the wrong way, it becomes a liability to us. You ever had a moment where you realized you didn't hear something that was very, very important, very clear instruction to you, and you, instead of yielding to it, you didn't hear it? What you and I need to understand is there's something very significant that we're going to learn out of this story, that when we fail to listen, we miss it. Not only that, though, because as you have your Bible turning to Joshua chapter 7, there's some other things you don't want to miss, and that is what you see here is Achan had one quality that was absolutely dangerous, and that was disloyalty. And disloyalty always distances us from God's direction for our life. In other words, when someone is disloyal, it causes us to end up losing which way we're supposed to go. And for Achan, everybody in Achan's world suffered from the choice he made, which tells you something. For every one of us, we need to make choices where people don't end up suffering, but people end up being blessed and end up being challenged by our lives. And then finally, we're going to learn today, as we look at this passage, something very significant. Because here's what you see that I want you not to miss no matter what. Secret sins are never hid from God. Secret sins never escape His notice. And so as you think about your own life, It's easy for little secret sins to develop, aren't they? Little things. And you say, well, I don't have any secrets. Let me ask you. You ever had a week when you didn't read the Bible all week? You got busy, had too much going on? And yet the Bible, the Scripture is very clear that you're supposed to be in this Word as a way of life, because this is the pathway to life. But you had a busy week that week, and you say, oh, you know, I'll do that next week. And what you discover, nobody knew it but you and God. But that secret sin comes to light, especially as we look at this particular story. So I want to encourage you today to open your Bible to Joshua chapter 7. As you turn there, I want you to remind you that these people have been told by God that everywhere you step, you will win at, as long as you do what it is I've called you to do. And what you're going to see today as this passage unfolds is you're going to look at your own life. And I hope what you'll do is you'll come in, you're in church today and you're thinking about where you are in life. Maybe you're thinking through and processing, what things do I let get in the way of how God's designed me and what he wants to accomplish and what his purpose is, and how often do I find myself distracted by things that don't count? And you're going to discover something. Achan pursued what he wanted and missed out on what he needed, which tells you something very important. If we pursue what we want, we'll miss what we need, because oftentimes the things we want are going to get us nowhere, but we go after them, wanting them, and yet they take us away from what God knows we need in our lives. So in this seventh chapter, they come to a place where they've just knocked down the walls of Jericho in chapter 6. They have been obedient to God. They walked around 7 times. They shouted with a loud voice, and the walls fell. Rahab came out, and they were all in a very celebrative mode. Except when you get to verse 1 of chapter 7, notice what it says, because they acted unfaithfully. Look at it, if you would. Chapter 7, verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. And you'll notice, who is it? Achan, his family from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Haven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up, spy out the land. So the men went up and spied out the land. They returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few. When you read this, you immediately see something. The perspective of those who've gone to spy out things says, in an overconfident way, we don't need everybody to do this. We just need a few. Because we don't want them to toil. We don't want them to have to work. We don't want to make their life challenging. I mean, you realize the overconfidence by which they share their perspective. Joshua should have caught it, but he didn't. And what you discover is, and there are four or five things we see out of this passage. The first thing you see when you look at it is that when we are in the middle of God's plan, we are all connected to God's purpose. In other words, we all have a part of that plan. It's not a limitation in which this person, if they have these skills, can do it, or this person, if they have this background, they can do it. We're all brought together and connected together to accomplish God's purpose. And it's interesting when you look at this verse here in verse 3, where it says that we don't have to go up there. They don't need to all go up there and toil up there. And here's what he's saying. Sometimes we need the easy way. Sometimes we don't need to go the difficult way. Sometimes we don't need to struggle. Let's let some of them sit back here and watch what's happening. And listen carefully. God never designed us to watch what's happening. He designed us to be involved in what's happening. And what you see here is when you and I become spectators, we miss the opportunity to see him do amazing things. Listen, God never designed you and me to sit in the bleachers of life. He designed us to be on the field. He designed us to be committed to it. He designed us to have a passion for life. And what happens is, when we lose our passion, why do we lose it? It's because we went to the bleachers and we said, some other people can take care of that. Do you understand what they're really saying? What they're saying is it's somebody else's responsibility. Let 2,000 or 3,000 go up. The only problem is, they made a very serious error in judgment. And what you discover is they didn't ask God what they're supposed to do. They just did it on their own way. And what happens in our lives is sometimes when we choose to do things our way instead of God's way, we end up suffering dramatically for that. So we first of all see that God's called us all together as one team. But look on in verses 4 and 5. Because here you watch what transpires. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. When you read this, you immediately see, secondly, what transpires. Willful disobedience leads to dire consequences. Leads to dire consequences. In other words, why does a parent, when a child is little, teach them not to touch a hot burning stove? Because the message is, if you touch that, you're going to get burned. You're going to have a problem. What happens in the spirit of most children when you tell them, don't do this? Their hands are all over it, aren't they? They're thinking, you know what, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to touch that. It's like the signs they put up in places you go where they say wet paint. And you get up to walk up to the wet paint and you realize people have touched that wet paint all over trying to figure out. And what you see here are 3,000 people. They go up and 36 people die. But more than anything else, watch this. Those who had amazing faith all of a sudden were afraid. And fear took the place of faith. And the Bible says that their hearts were melted. And what I want you not to miss today is you may be contemplating a thought that's not going to get you where God wants you to go. You may be thinking the wrong way. Just remember, if you start thinking that way, ultimately you'll do it. You'll take that next step. And you want to be wise enough not to allow that to happen, because it could end up being detrimental to others. It could end up having an effect on others. Look on, though, because then you see in verse 6 that here's where you see the story really take a unique and challenging turn, because it's here that you see a man that the Bible says that everyone revered. Joshua was revered by everyone. In other words, they looked up to Joshua above all those who were leaders. They realized he was the man. But notice in verse 6 what happens, because the story unfolds as Joshua responds. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan, only to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us?" And notice what he says here. This shows you how quickly you can fall in the wrong direction. "If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. Oh Lord, what can I say, since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut us off and cut our name off from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" Watch this, so, so important to see. The greatest of men can miss the mark that quickly. The greatest of men can miss what it is that God is saying. And here's what happens to Joshua. Joshua, watch what's happening. They get defeated. Now remember, Joshua's heard over and over again, every place your foot goes, you'll win. I'm giving it all to you. This land, it's yours forever. And all of a sudden at Ai, they get defeated. And what does Joshua do? He shrinks into despair. And listen to me so carefully. When we despair, we lose the capacity to discern. And what happens is Joshua does not understand what's going on, because he has allowed his focus, watch this, his focus to shift from God to himself. And in life, when we focus in on ourselves instead of God, we misplace that priority. What happens? We end up in trouble. We end up missing it. So what does Joshua do? Joshua, they all lay down on their face. They take dirt and they start throwing it on their head. And I don't know if you're like me, but I can't imagine having dirt in my face and on my head feeling good about anything. But they're throwing it all over there. And they're having this, what are they having? Watch this carefully. They're having a pity party. They're having a pity party. And let me tell you what you see out of this. God didn't design us to have pity parties. He designed us to accomplish his purpose. And what happens to us is, all of a sudden, we turn our focus inward. We begin to look at things in our perspective instead of God's perspective. And from that comes the consequences of a person being totally confused. I mean, look how he says it. Don't miss how he says it in this passage. He asked the question. He asked the question in such a unique way. It makes a statement, I should say. "If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan." Now, I want to ask you, is that not the most pitiful statement you've ever heard? This is the same guy who spied out the land 40 years before and said, "We can take it." And then he, in such a pitiful way, says, no, we ought to just stay over there. Then we don't have to fight any battles. And listen carefully. The reason Christianity is not spreading any quicker than it is here and other places in the world at times is because we have somehow adapted in our minds that God designed us to be comfortable and convenient. He has designed us to be able to have whatever we want. And the truth of the matter is, what we have done is we have allowed a groundswell across the world for people to pick up an empty religion and let it become a focal point to destroy a religion and a faith that we call Christianity. And you and I need to see something. We are designed by God to make a difference in people's lives. And Joshua, what does he do? He says, man, we should have been back here in the wilderness. We should have been hanging out there. We should have been back in that spot. You see, my friend I met on an airplane, if he had said, you know what, I've decided to go back in the world every once in a while, then I'll come back into God's world and I'll go back in the world. That's not God's design. He said, you know what, I'm going God's way. And here's what you missed. You never miss this, please. And that is, always keep your eyes on Jesus, because men will miss the mark, but God won't. And you see all through history, those who at some juncture said, I've got a skill, I've got a talent, and I can make it happen. And let me tell you, when one of God's servants begins to believe that they have some talent, some skill, they lose the supernatural power of a God who takes inadequate people and does amazing things. You see, we're designed by God to be inadequate without Him. If our adequacy rests in us, then we don't need God. But if we're inadequate, then we need Him to orchestrate the affairs of our lives. Let's look on, though, because what happens in verse 10 is quite amazing. Because you get to verse 10, you find a lesson that you can't ever forget. And that is, waiting on God for instructions is critical. In fact, when you think about it, it's the key to life. Look what happens in verse 10. And I want you to see this, because this really hits home to how we're supposed to live our lives. So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. And notice what he said. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourself for tomorrow, for thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you remove these things under the ban from your midst. Now, I want you to look at verse 10 and kind of get an idea of what God's doing here. All of a sudden, God shows up, okay? And when he shows up, he says very clearly to those who are part of this entire experience, Joshua in particular, he says to them, rise up. And here's what he's saying. Get up and get focused on what it is I want to do through you. Quit laying there thinking that I'm going to waller in my self-pity and my own personal direction, and I'm going to mourn for days, and I'm not going to take any time to focus on what needs to be happening. I'm just going to sit here, and we're all going to just sit here and weep and wail and have all kinds of negative feelings. Listen, he says, rise up, step up. And listen carefully. If you and I just take a step in the right direction, if we rise up, we can experience so much more about what God has for us. And what you see here is all of a sudden God says, get up from where you are and get where I want you to be. And I would say to you today, if you're not where God wants you to be in life, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? If you're waiting on His instruction, I guarantee you this, here's what He's saying. Rise up. Rise up. And He says here also, consecrate yourself. Now, you remember He said this earlier in this story. It's His same story over and over again. Here's what He's saying. At 180-degree living, it's either obedience or disobedience. It's either honor or dishonor. And here He says, get up, consecrate yourself. In other words, make a choice to live holy. In other words, to live like God wants you to live. Make that choice. Just rise up. And obviously, they immediately start dealing with the issue. And they've waited on God, and God instructs them. And they follow the instructions carefully. But what I want you to see in verse 16 is the final thing I want you not to miss out of this passage. Because today I want you to think about your own journey, where you have been, what you've been up to. Because here's what you see. There are always consequences. And when you see in verse, as this passage unfolds, you're going to discover that these consequences are confronted. Because it is inevitable that God will confront the things that we face in life that are not in tune with His best for our lives. You see, if you listen carefully today, I've actually confronted four or five different areas of your own personal life And you may not even realize it yet. I confronted you at the point of whether you let God's word be a part of your daily life. I confronted you at the point of allowing pity to be the basis by which you function. I confronted you about how important it is that you wait on God so that he can instruct you. I confronted you not to allow a man to be the person you lift up, but that you would lift up the Lord. Because he said very clearly, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. If he is lifted up, something powerful happens. You see, so the reality is confrontation is inevitable. And Achan gets confronted. And I hope you also notice the other confrontation I gave you. It's a point of reference regarding God did not design us to live out convenient lives. He designed us to live out lives of conviction. And let me tell you, as men and women who are committed to God's purpose, we ought to have convictions that guide our lives, that order out our steps and help us see which way we should go. But look, if you went to verse 16, because all of a sudden, Achan comes to the forefront of the entire story. So Joshua rose early in the morning, brought Israel near by tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah near and began to work with all of them. And what happens in verse 19? Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell him now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly, I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw," watch this, "when I saw," looking at the wrong thing, "among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it." Look at how what happens here. What transpires? All of a sudden, Joshua confronts and he begins to confess. And you don't want to miss this, because how does it unfold? The first thing he did was he looked the wrong way. Then he began to covet. Then he began to hide. And what you discover here is that you and I need to be careful which way we look. Because if we're not careful, we'll look the wrong way. And when we look the wrong way, something happens inside of who we are. You start looking the wrong way, you'll end up doing the wrong thing, and you're going the wrong way at everything else in life. And what you see here is Achan is confronted, and Joshua obviously ends up saying to him, "It's going to cost you everything." It's sad, and the reality is that Achan's choice was so in direct disobedience to God's plan that cost him and his family everything. And in fact, when you look at it, you'll notice in verse 25, Joshua said to Achan, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day, and the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. You see, there were consequences. They were inevitable. So you ask yourself, what steps can I take? What action steps can I take to move through this lesson and learn how to live the way God intended? It's very vital that we take three or four steps. First of all, we have to listen with ears tuned to obedience. In other words, when you look at this, what happened here? They stopped listening to obedience, and it cost them everything. Listen carefully. You ever tried to tune your radio in? I happen to go to the football games with my son-in-law, and he likes to listen to everything that's happened after it's already happened one more time. I mean, he wants to hear the players interviewed. He wants to hear all the things. I always pray he can't find the station, because if I've just watched the game, I don't want to hear about it again. It's over. But he wants to hear what this player said, what that player said, what the coach said. And I don't know if he tuned in yesterday, but he wouldn't have had a good interview, because yesterday his team didn't come through. And in reality is, sometimes, listen carefully, we tune our ears to the wrong thing. We tune our ears to the world. And what do we see out of that? We see a world where everybody has a message they want to send to somebody, but God's message seldom gets out. Because we're oftentimes, we can let the focus be on what we're going to occupy. We'll occupy Wall Street. We'll occupy Washington, D.C. We'll occupy this. We'll occupy that. All the time that I'm watching people occupy things, I'm wondering, what is their mission in life? What message are they sending? And until you discover, you can occupy your house and miss the entire opportunity God has placed before you if you don't tune your ears to obedience. If you don't tune your ears to obedience, something, that action will cost you more than you can imagine. Not only that, though, when you think about the actions that we take, choose wisely recognizing consequences are connected to every choice. Man, I would say to you, be careful. Be careful as you make a choice in life. If you're young here today, you're going to have so many choices. So many choices. You better choose really wisely, because if you choose the wrong ones, they'll cost you more than you ever dreamed of. No, the likelihood is they won't cost you your life. Achan got in trouble because he did something so directly instructed by God that it cost him everything. But listen, when you make a choice, there's a consequence. You make a choice not to love the person God's given you the way he intended, you're going to suffer a consequence. You make a choice not to direct those that are a part of your life in the right direction, there's a consequence. Take an action step. Move in the right direction. Watch what happens. A third thing that we needed to make sure that we never miss, because what you see here is what Joshua missed was he didn't take the time to ask God which way he was supposed to go. And we must live in an awareness of his presence always in our lives. We must always live aware of where he is. Show me the pathway, Lord, that you would have for me. Direct me the right direction. Help me see which way I'm supposed to go. Because when you're with me, I don't miss it. I get it. I see it. And finally, when you think about this story, you realize something. What got Achan in trouble? He thought he could live a secret sin out. He thought he could do something that God wouldn't see. Same thing we do at times. Thinking we can live out something and God doesn't see it. So I want to take just a couple minutes. And I want to just have you, and you can jot these scriptures down. But I want you to see something, because God has a secret side that is dramatically powerful and very significant. And it's just some verses in the Psalms and a few other places. But I want you to just kind of, you'll note them on the screen. But I want to just kind of take a moment and journey you through this real quickly, because it's very important. Psalm 25, verse 14. Listen to what it says. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make known his covenant. God's going to show you what it is you need. Psalm 27. For in the day of trouble, he will cover you, and he will cause you to see his work in your life in the secret place of his tabernacle, of his tent. He'll show you where he wants you to be. Psalm 31, verse 20. You hide them in the secret place of your presence, away from the trouble of men and all those who are part of their life. Look on, though. Psalm 90, verse 8. You have placed our iniquities before you. Watch what he says here. Our secret sins in the light of your presence. Which tells you something. You don't get away with anything. He sees it all. Look on. Isaiah 45, verse 3. Isaiah 45, 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden wealth of secret places. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Sure, the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel. A tremendous promise to us. And then finally, in Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things revealed belong to us. So let's think about these just for a second as we bring it all together. Here's a story of a guy who had his own plan, and his plan didn't work because his plan was centered in what he wanted instead of what he needed. Because the reality is, you're going to see something next week as we dig in this passage. Next week, God lets them have almost anything they want. He was testing their character, testing what they were committed to, testing their hearts. And today I want to just challenge you to think about your own life. Ask yourself the question, if he put the test before you, if he put a gold brick in front of you with gold costing $1,900 an ounce, if he put a gold brick in front of you and said, don't touch it, would you grab the brick and run to one of those stores where it says, we buy gold, say, I just got rich? Or would you look at it and realize that he will give you the hidden treasures of his secret presence in your life, and he'll give you something money could never buy? Because here's what we learn out of this whole passage. What money can buy will oftentimes only be what you want. But what Christ has done for you, money could never buy. And that's why we come to this moment where we ask the Lord to really speak to our hearts. And as we come to this moment, we're going to sing a song that says, Lord, let your spirit rain down on me. And may it be a moment of worship for us. Because one thing we have discovered, God has gifted and blessed us with beautiful people who bring our focus by way of music and instrument to the Lord. And what we discover on this day is we're going to make a choice. We'll either choose to go God's way or our way. And if God's speaking to your heart about becoming a part of who we are, I want to encourage you to respond. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, I want to help you understand how to make that step, how to move towards him. Whatever the case may be, we're going to take a moment. But as we stand to sing, Ron will be to your right, the team will be waiting, and as we come to this moment, ask yourself, which way are you going to turn? Which way are you going to go? Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are going to do something in our lives because we make the right choice. We realize the consequences if we don't listen. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow this passage to deeply be burned in our hearts. And may the Holy Spirit of God rain down on us. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.